I felt my cheeks go hot.
How so?
He looked uncomfortable.
I'm not sure. What have they done to you?
Something like defensiveness bubbled up. Halden had a way of reminding me of Powell on occasion, making me feel small.
Nothing. They've been surprisingly kind, actually.
It was the truth.
Yeah, I saw that.
Halden's eyes narrowed.
Maybe you can reason with the king. He cares for you, you know. You should have seen his face when I called you my wife. He looked like I'd killed his pet.
For whatever reason, I thought of the Strix. My lips twitched, thinking of Cain's relationship with the foul beast, teaching it to come when called and how to do tricks. Bleeding stones, how did I still feel anything warm and gooey for the man? Halden, I had to focus on Halden. Why did you say I was to be your wife? We never spoke of things like that. Halden bit his nail and thought.
I did hope when I returned we might be married.
I waited for him to continue.
But when I saw you in there, unchained, not as a servant, seated directly next to the king, I knew you were in some kind of position of power here. I thought if I tied myself to you, I might be spared.
Something like unease spread through me, oily and cloying. So Griffin had been right. Halden was more manipulative than I thought. I never knew that side of him. I guessed he was doing what he needed to survive. Maybe. I let the thought linger, unsure how to finish. I wasn't sure if I wanted Halden to be right, if I wanted Cain to feel that way about me anymore.
Trust me, if he didn't care for you, I'd be dead right now.
Something about his assertion drained the color from my face. Why? What did you do? Halden jerked back as if I had slapped him.
What did I do? I'm fighting for our home.
But still, my gut told me his words had meant more than he intended to share. Last night, they said you killed 3 innocent bystanders. Is that true?
Arwen.
His eyes were so wounded.
Of course not. How can you believe anything they say? And about me?
Shame heated my face. I don't know. Why would they lie? Halden bit at his nail again.
Why? Because they're demons, Arwen. They've clearly gotten to you already. I don't know why you're here, but I promise I'll get you out. I told you last night I'd save you.
He looked at me earnestly, and I tried to feel something positive. Hope? Love? Relief? But all I felt was nausea.
We have a plan, he continued, nodding toward the cells to his right, in which the other 2 amber men slept. We just need some kind of commotion. Can you think of anything that might spread the guards out?
I racked my brain, but nothing came to mind. It's pretty isolated here. What's your plan?
He shook his head as if to calm his own frantic thoughts. Once something comes up that might work, you'll find a way to tell me, yeah? I can explain then, and get us both out of here.
Footsteps echoed down into the cells from the top of the stairs.
Yes, I'll keep my eyes and ears open. In the meantime, stay alive.
I turned to run.
Arwen, he rasped.
I turned and looked back at his hands curled around the cell bars.
I've really missed you.
I waited for my heart to leap at his words, but it never did. Instead, I gave him an almost smile and hurried out, winding my way up the musty stairs and past the young guard.
Handled? He asked.
What? My mind was still reeling from my encounter with Halden. It had not been at all what I was expecting.
Oh, yes, Martin is all healed, thanks.
Martin?
Shit. Mathis.
Oops. Too early for me. Back to bed I go. I scurried away before the suspicious look on his face could become anything else. Halfway back to my quarters, I slowed down to catch my breath. Halden didn't seem the same, but hadn't he said the same about me, too? How could I judge him? Who knew what horrors he had seen on the battlefield? My heart hurt for him, for all he had been through.
Crossing the stone courtyard, I noticed the sun peek over the castle spires. A soft, lilac-scented wind blew my hair from my face. Despite the horribleness of the past few hours, the quiet dawn brought me some strange peace. "This is my favorite time of day," a deep voice crooned behind me. "The sun rising over the castle feels like a fresh start, a rebirth." I closed my eyes. I did not have the mental energy for this man right now. "Please," I whispered, "leave me alone."
"I behaved abominably last night. I let my rage consume me. It wasn't befitting of a king, or a man, frankly."
I hesitated, then turned to face Cain. My heart almost couldn't take the sight of him. He looked as if he hadn't slept all night, his hair disheveled, his eyes red, and still, he was nearly too handsome to behold. Exhaustion lined his expression as he regarded me.
"I am so sorry," he said, his voice weary. "And for whatever it's worth, you were incredible in the forum. As brilliant as you are beautiful."
My traitorous heart tried to soar, but I caught it and crammed it back down. No warm feelings for the sweet-talking king today. Absolutely none. "Did you follow me this morning?"
"No." He paused. "But I know you went to see the boy. Arwen, he's not who you think he is."
I was so tired of there being so much I didn't know. "Really? Enlighten me." Cain's brows creased, troubled. He weighed his words carefully before answering.
"I'm not sure I can trust you, bird."
If I rolled my eyes any harder, they would have lodged in my skull. "You can't trust me?" He laughed bitterly.
"I'm aware of our history, but I have never lied to you."
"What? What about the entire I'm a prisoner too facade?"
"I didn't mention my royal lineage, but I never lied."
"And I haven't lied to you, Cain." He stepped closer, and I flinched back reflexively. His face fell.
"Last night, you arrived at the forum in onyx colors, referred to my people as ours, and this kingdom as we."
My stomach twisted. He was right. Before Haldin's capture, I had been starting to feel like a part of this land. I had made an unexpected home here. Cain noticed the shift in my attitude and continued, outrage twisting his face.
"Then, your lover shows up at my home, kills my people, and tries to take what is mine. You fight for him, steal for him, and plot to help him escape, and tell me that isn't lying?"
My stomach jumped into my throat. "I thought you weren't following me."
"I have eyes all over this castle. How could you have expected any less?"
Cain stalked past me, fury rippling off of him. Heat lit my face. I should have known he'd never actually leave me unguarded. I clenched my teeth against the rage. "I'm not yours, by the way." I wasn't even sure why I said it. I wanted him to hurt, too. He faced me, but his expression gave nothing away.
"Of course not."
"You just said, take what is mine." Cain pinned a cruel grin on me.
"Well, aren't we cocky? I wasn't actually referring to you. Would you like me to have been?"
The words stung more than I anticipated they would. "No, of course not," I said, shaking my head emphatically to further prove my point. "I don't even know you." The corner of his mouth quirked in a sly grin.
"Well, when you've forgiven me for my outburst, we'll have to remedy that." I was never going to forgive him for sentencing Haldin to die.
"So you aren't going to kill them, even after what Griffin said?"
"Not yet."
Dinner hour in the Great Hall was boisterous and full of life, but I could barely look up from my stew of eggplant and bell peppers. Mari watched me carefully, as she had all day, until she couldn't take it anymore. "All right, Arwen, enough. What is going on with you?" I laid my head down on the cool wood and made a guttural noise into the table. "Sorry, I don't speak miserable.
Talk to me. I looked up at Mari. Her freckle-dusted face was stern, but underneath that I felt only empathy and warmth. I heaved a sigh. It's kind of a lot. Mari looked relieved. I'm all ears. I told Mari the entire saga, how maybe, despite my realizing it, I had developed a slight crush on the king, how much I had appreciated his wartime forum and the respect I felt for his egalitarian process, how I was just starting to find my footing here and with him when Haldin was captured, how much I despised him now, more than I ever had before, how Kane had agreed to spare his life for the time being, how I knew I had to help Haldin escape before he changed his mind. There's no other way. He'll die here if I don't help him get out somehow. Mari chewed her food slowly, processing. The king hasn't been seen with any women in weeks. It's all over the castle. I wonder if that's because of you.
Yeah, right, I chided. I haven't heard any such thing.
Yeah, because you don't talk to anyone but me. I'm telling you, there is no shortage of beautiful women around here who would love to be the queen of Onyx, or just to sleep with him. They have been throwing themselves at him ever since he arrived at the keep. His reputation was well known, and they are very disappointed. I tried with every cell in my body to feel nothing at all. Well, that's not the point, Mar. Forget Kane. What about Haldin? Mari rolled her eyes. Didn't I say the king's wartime tactics weren't foolproof? Now his own subject, she pointed at herself with theatrical flair, is going to help commit treason to save a boy's life. We'll get him out. Don't worry about it. I raised a brow. Please, do share. She gave me a classic Mari look, equal parts coolly self-assured and itching with excitement. I was actually dying to tell you this all day, but you were in a funk. I was waiting until I could get the full range of Arwen excitement. The night before the eclipse, King Eryx of Peridot is coming here with his daughter. King Ravenwood is throwing a banquet for their arrival. There will be food, wine, liquor. Everyone will be caught up in the revelry, if not completely smashed. I must have been missing something. Mari watched me eagerly, waiting for my full range of excitement to kick in. When it didn't, she continued impatiently. Everyone, including most of the dungeon guards. We never have festivals or celebrations out here in the middle of the woods. They will be preoccupied, and Haldin can make his escape. I shot her a stern glance and looked around to make sure nobody in the Great Hall had heard us, but the rowdy dinner crowd kept the long tables nearby at a high decibel. Whoops, she said sheepishly. Now I just have to figure out how to tell Haldin. I think I can help with that, too. Mari, you're a lifesaver. Quite literally, huh? She laughed, but I didn't have high enough hopes yet to join her. 16. The entire castle had felt on edge lately, servants rushing and whispering, soldiers even more brutish and poised for a fight than before. I had hoped it was only due to the pressure to prepare for the upcoming festivities. I tried not to worry that something more foreboding was afoot. It wasn't like I could ask Kane what was going on. I had decided, with Mari's encouragement, to let go of all my complicated feelings for the king. He was a charming, powerful man, with a good sense of humor and a killer, crooked grin. But he was also a hothead, a manipulator, and a liar, with no sense of morality or compassion. Not a fair trade in my book. But my heart hadn't quite agreed to the new arrangement yet, so I was avoiding him, to the point of ducking behind columns whenever he stalked through the halls. Not the most mature way to carry myself, but I had bigger issues to deal with. All that mattered was helping Haldin. I didn't think I could fake my way into the dungeons a second time, especially with Kane's eyes all over the castle, as he had said. So weeks went by with no clue as to how Haldin was doing. Still, I was determined to help him escape. I couldn't sit around and wait for Kane to use him as a bargaining chip with King Gareth, or kill him in another bout of jealous rage. Hopefully, neither of which had happened already. Mari had promised me she had a plan, but that she just needed a bit longer for it to work. To take my mind off it all, I trained with my sword in the mornings, healed soldiers in the afternoons, and spent most evenings with Mari in the library. Summer had fully arrived, and with it I experienced my first real seasonal shift. Onyx's spring hadn't been too dissimilar from Amber's year-round chill, but summer here was like a bath of light and heat. With the soft, blustery winds and days that never seemed to grow dark came an abundance of bluebells and violets, which I had taken to stealing and keeping in glass vases in my bedroom. When they wilted, I was so unable to part with the spectacular blooms, I'd press them in my books until they were delicate, thin memories of the blossoms they once were. It wasn't too far off from how I was feeling about myself recently, as I wandered from apothecary to bed each day in a daze. I was in desperate need of positive Arwen. Where had she gone? As I folded bandages in the apothecary, the dim light of afternoon slipping behind the pine trees outside, I tried to play Rose and Thorn, as if my mother was here with me. Rose, I was finally using an adult's sword, but still nothing like the one Doggin wielded. Thorn, the sound of grunts and boots scuffing against the apothecary floor had my eyes lifting up from the bandages and landing on a couple of armor-clad soldiers supporting a sweating, shivering man, paler than any person should be. Here, I motioned to the infirmary. You can place him on the daybed. Thank you. The voice came from behind the men, like midnight. Quiet, soft, and pitch black. Bleeding stones. Kane stepped into the apothecary behind them. He was wearing a simple, unbuttoned white shirt, his few silver rings, and black pants, and seductiveness dripped from him like rain down a window. Even after everything, I was so affected by his presence. What do you want? I have a patient to tend to. I hoped my breathy voice might be accredited to shock.
You've been avoiding me.
I swore steam was curling out of my ears. Could you be any more self-obsessed? This man is dying.
Yes, and I'm here to help, he said. Lance is one of my best soldiers.
Such an obnoxious liar. Pretty despicable to use your own soldier's illness as justification to come bother me, I said, as I followed the men into the infirmary. The two soldiers looked anywhere but at us. Kane bristled, turning to them.
Leave us. Now.
They scurried out without hesitation, one even bumping into my herbs in his rush and knocking sage and poppy seeds all over the floor. A wet, hacking cough drew my attention away from the spilled jars. Lance was not doing well. He was shivering despite the blanket I had pulled atop him and sweating profusely. I would have thought it the flu or a fever had I not noticed the two puncture wounds near his wrist, rusty with dried blood. What happened?
He was bitten. I believe the creature's venom is what's slowly killing him. Well, not that slowly, it seems.
Always so compassionate. I scowled at him. What bit him? Lance moaned incoherently, and Kane didn't take his eyes off the shuddering man.
Can't say for sure. Do you need to know in order to heal him?
It would help. I moved into the apothecary to look through the shelves of antivenom. Funnelweb spider, stone goblin, horned ember snake, any of those? Kane followed me out, away from Lance's bedside.
It's not anything your ointments will work on. He needs you, he demanded, with uncharacteristic sincerity. Your abilities.
Fine. I scooted past him and back into the infirmary, before placing my palms on Lance's clammy face. He had started convulsing and twitching. Cranking the window open, I let the lilac-scented evening air waft into the room. I needed to work fast. Ever since Doggin had shown me how to harness the atmosphere around me, I had been using it in small doses, for particularly dire patients or overcrowded days. A soft wind breezed in, like steam from a bubbling pot, and I redirected it into my palms, which in turn seeped power into Lance's head. It funneled through him, a potent tonic to his pain. He gasped as the air itself poured through him, purging the venom from his bones, lungs, and skin. Lance shuddered out a heaving exhale, and weak color began to return to his wet cheeks. I exhaled, breath coming out of me like a burst ball. It was getting easier and easier to use the elements around me, and I was never left craving quite the nap as before. I tucked the knit blanket around Lance's body as he drifted off. He should be all right now, but I'll stay here with him for a few hours to make sure.
Nicely done, bird, Kane murmured. I didn't ask for your approval.
He chuckled as I placed a cold compress on Lance's head and poured a glass of water for when he awoke. I've been working on it, I admitted, as he left the infirmary to pace around the apothecary. If you must know. I followed him out, twisting my fingers in my skirts, then restraining my restless hands behind my back. He needed to leave.
Well, I'm impressed, Kane said, eyes glinting, and proud to have such a skilled healer in my own keep.
He continued his slow perusal of the space, which was now awash in buttery candlelight spilling in from the hallway. It gleamed off his rings and in his slate eyes. He was always glowing. Don't you have something better to do? I asked. He lifted a brow.
You're going to be here all night, watching poor Lance sleep. I'm just offering some company.
I scoffed. I'm all right. Thanks, though. He turned toward me, his eyes searing into mine.
Perhaps I just like to watch you squirm in my presence.
My brows knit together. I had no more bite left in me. Why are you like this? I asked, exasperation seeping into my voice. Kane threw me a sideways grin.
You don't even want to scratch the surface of that question, bird.
He was probably right about that. Have you found my family? I asked.
Not yet,
he said, strolling through the apothecary, opening and closing jars and drawers.
But I will.
I don't believe you, I snapped. He spun to me.
It's like searching for a needle in a haystack. 3 needles, actually. Give me some time.
I gritted my teeth, about to lay into him, when an awkward grumble erupted from my stomach. I pressed my hand into my dress to quiet it, but I had been in the apothecary all day, and hadn't eaten since I'd had a peach that morning on my way in. My abdomen protested again, and I grimaced. Kane raised a single curious brow in my direction, and a slight tickle of embarrassment climbed up my neck. What? I asked, feigning ignorance. But he just walked toward the apothecary door and pulled it open, sending the wooden sign swinging.
Barney, he called into the gallery. Can you send for Lady Arwen's supper to be brought to the apothecary?
Oh, stones. The tickle of embarrassment had become an all-out assault.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Barney's familiar, sweet voice echoed in from the hall. Kane made to close the door, but stopped right before it shut, swinging it open once more.
An extra clover bread, he said. 2 loaves. Thank you.
When he shut the door and spun back to me, he looked very pleased with himself. That was not necessary, I said, picking up the fallen herbs and throwing them in the waste bin.
Sure it was. Someone has to take care of you if you won't.
I stared daggers at him. Is that what you think you're doing? Taking care of me? By keeping me here against my will and threatening to murder my friends? His playful expression faded, replaced by something far colder, far more frightening. I swallowed hard.
That boy is not your friend.
I shook my head. I didn't want to have this conversation with him. Not tonight. Preferably not ever. He loosed a sigh and ran a beleaguered hand through his hair before turning and strolling casually around the apothecary. The sun had finally disappeared, and the room was beginning to become cloaked in a sleepy evening darkness. I fished through the drawer nearest to me for a match to light the room's lanterns. Kane tapped the glass case in front of him, and my eyes flashed to him. "What's that?" he asked. I flared my nostrils. "None of your business." "Come on, it's so spindly. I'm fascinated." I sighed. "It's a preserved jellyfish. They have healing enzymes embedded in their tissue, and the dried membrane can be used like a second skin over cuts and scrapes."
"I love to listen to you explain medicinal practices," he purred. "And I'd love to listen to you fall off a cliff."
He visibly shook, suppressing a laugh. The man was infuriating. Coming in here, irritating me, trying to bribe me with food, speaking ill of Halden after everything. Halden and his men wouldn't have been in his vault in the first place had he not attacked the Kingdom of Amber. I rubbed my temples. All I wanted were some damn answers. "Why did you attack Amber?" I said, stepping around the counter and closer to him. "Give me something."
"I've told you," he said, eyes still on the jellyfish. "Gareth is a weasel and doesn't deserve to rule his own kingdom."
"That's not a reason to murder thousands in a war, and you know it." His gaze hardened, but still never left the glass case.
"It's all I can tell you."
The roaring in my ears was so loud, I could barely hear myself say, "Then get out of my apothecary."
"Arwen," he said, eyes finally meeting mine. "As charmed as I am by your fire, you're going to have to forgive me eventually."
I gritted my teeth. "No, I really, really won't." He prowled closer to me, and I could almost feel him, touch him, smell him. His brows knitted together.
"I can't stomach you hating me forever."
His gaze was unflinching. I couldn't help my response. "Well, you should have thought of that before you sentenced Halden to die." Something predatory flickered in his eyes before he clenched his jaw and placed his hands in his pockets.
"Fine, have it your way."
"Is that a threat?" I couldn't help the fear that crept into my voice. He glared at me until finally he sighed, resigned.
"If it was, you'd know it. Have a nice evening."
17. Despite my love for the warm, fragrant evening breeze I had come to know as summer wind, it wasn't doing much to calm my nerves. I had finally gotten Mari to share her plan, which turned out to be a complex spell she needed to get just right. Today, she was ready to give it a try. "All right, one more time, please," I said, voice low, twisting my sweaty hands in my skirts. We were hidden behind a hedge by the dungeon stairs, where we had agreed to meet. "Calm down, I've practiced over and over. It's second nature now." Mari sounded confident, and I wanted to believe her. She had been working on the spell for weeks, and was delighted when she was able to use it successfully on a squirrel. He hadn't been able to see a walnut right in front of him for hours. She clutched at the violet amulet. "It's a simple cloaking spell. I'll perform it on the guard, and to him, you'll be invisible for a little while." "How long is a little while?" Mari stared straight ahead, raising her head high. "I don't know." "What?" "Shh," she hissed. "It's fine. How long could it take for you to get in and out? And I'll be here waiting for you." "Mar," I tried, "you know it's all right if you aren't perfect at this the very first time. We can always try something else." She gave me a look that said, "Don't you dare." So I nodded, but couldn't stop shifting beside her. "Stand still or I'll be too distracted to get this right." Mari closed her eyes and brought her hands out in front of her as if she could touch the guard in the distance. She hummed a low tune and whispered words in a primeval language I couldn't understand. The tall grass at her feet began to rustle in the sudden wind, a wind that smelled of rain and earth despite the sunny day. A few of her long hairs gradually rose around her, encircling her in red strands that mimicked flames. Her knuckles cracked as she clenched her outstretched fingers. And then she stopped. She blinked her eyes open, looking a bit disoriented. She reached a hand out to hold on to me, and I grasped her tightly. "Are you all right?" She stared at me, dazed. "Who are you?" My heart dropped into my stomach. A wide smile grew on her face. "Kidding!" I let out a breath that was almost a laugh. Almost. "You're the worst." "Go on," she said. I hurried toward the bearded guard, never succumbing to a run, which might have appeared suspicious to anyone else who could actually see me. The guard was about my age, ruddy pink cheeks, scruffy blonde beard and brows. When I stood before him, an eerie sensation licked down my neck. He looked into my eyes and yet saw right through me. I waved a tentative hand in his face, but he just rubbed his nose in boredom and continued to stand watch. I wasn't going to stick around to count on my luck. Sneaking past him, I ran through the dark spiral once more. I had the fleeting thought that if I was truly lucky, this would be the last time I ever had to come down here. I rapped the bars on Halden's cell. "Psst, Halden." He was asleep under the fur that I had brought him, curled up in a dark corner like a wounded animal, his white blonde hair now almost gray with dirt and soot.
"You made it back,"
he said, voice coated in sleep. He sounded almost reverent. "Yes, but I have to be quick." I passed him some more food I had smuggled. "In 1 week, the night before the eclipse, there will be a banquet at sundown. That will be the best time for you to attempt your escape." Halden nodded. "Who's the banquet for?"
"King Eric's of Peridot. I'd assume they're trying to make an alliance."
He bit at his nail and spat the clipping to the left. It was a nasty habit I somehow used to find attractive.
"Have you met any halflings here at Shadowhold?"
My brow creased. Halden believed in Fae now? And their descendants? "What? Not that I know of." Though now that I had thought of it, some of the soldiers I had healed or passed by had seemed so powerful and so menacing. But it wasn't worth sharing that with Halden. "I don't even know how to tell a halfling from a mortal." Halden sighed, sitting back on his heels.
"You can't, really. It's hard to know without researching a person's ancestry. They say Onyx is filled with them."
"Why do you ask?" He gave me a half grin.
"Morbid curiosity, I guess. Has the king said anything to you about something he is looking for? A relic of some kind?"
Unease dipped in my belly. "Halden, why are you grilling me? You know I would tell you anything that could help you escape."
"Of course. Just another tall tale I was told by some soldiers in my battalion. Too much empty time to think down here is all."
My mind flashed to the night I had heard Cain talking with Griffin about the seer, about whatever he had been searching for. It felt like a lifetime ago. Could that be the same thing Halden was talking about? "Since when do you care about Onyx and their secrets? You were more reluctant to serve than anyone else in Abington." I recalled my displeasure well over 2 years ago, when he had cared so little about fighting the wicked kingdom in the north, how his apathy had made me feel irritated and alone. How much things had changed in so little time.
He shook his head. "I was a child then, Arwen. I've learned more about King Gareth since, of what he fights for. There's just a lot you wouldn't understand."
I was so, so sick of men that I was romantically interested in saying that to me. I made a face.
"And what about you? You don't care about our kingdom anymore?"
"No, of course I do," I said, my face growing hot. "I care about the people who are dying because of senseless greed for land and coin."
"I don't want to argue. The night of the banquet, where will I find you? Halden asked. It was the question I was dreading. It would be the night before the eclipse, when I needed to make it back into the woods for the burrow route. And truthfully, I wasn't sure if I was any more likely to reach my family if I fled with Halden. The king is trying to track down my family. If he finds them, and I'm gone, I wasn't sure how to finish that thought. Would Cain harm them out of anger?
I can protect you, Arwen. King Gareth's spies are just as good, if not better, than Onyx's. We can find your family together.
Some part of me still softened at his comforting words, his self-assured smile, even behind bars. How are you going to get out of your cell? Even if most of the guards are caught up in the revelry, how will you get through the woods?
Halden snorted. The woods aren't as dangerous as I'm sure they've led you to believe. Just trust me. The night of the feast, when you hear an explosion, you'll have a few minutes to get to the north gate. Can you do that?
But shock had my heart rattling in my chest, making it hard to respond. An explosion? What in the stones are you planning?
The less you know, the better, he said with sincerity.
I need more than that. You cannot hurt the people of this castle. They are innocents.
He shook his head. Of course not. Is that really what you think of me?
I didn't know how to answer that. Guilt seeped in, like red wine on a white dress, sticky and spreading and impossible to ignore.
Halden exhaled and bit at his thumbnail again. One of my men is a warlock. He can blow these cell doors open any time. The explosion will free a path for us out of here and barely rattle the great hall above us.
He gestured upward.
But even then, we'd never make it past the soldiers that guard the north gate. The night of the banquet, they'll be underprepared and overwhelmed with people. It's our best shot. I promise, nobody will get hurt.
It seemed like a fine plan. Not foolproof, but the best they could do on such short notice. I have to go. I don't have much time. I stood to leave, but Halden grabbed my hand through the bars.
Wait.
He pulled me so I was pressed into the railing, and his rough hands enclosed my own through the bars.
Do you remember when we watched those shooting stars on the roof of the Tipsy Boar?
I pictured the chilly knight, bundled up in his arms atop the local tavern. He had seen the stars falling and wanted a better view. Somehow, he had convinced me to climb up there with him. I was sure at any moment the whole structure would crumble under our weight and we would land in a heap of ale and glass.
Of course, I said.
His russet eyes had gone heavy-lidded and seeped in lust.
And do you remember what we did when the last star had faded from the sky?
His voice took on a huskier tone, and my cheeks warmed. Of course, I repeated.
I think of that night constantly. Just in case something goes wrong, I'd never forgive myself for not kissing you one last time.
Before I could register his intent, Halden pulled me toward him until the cool iron pressed against the sides of my face and his warm lips brushed mine. It was a tentative kiss, safe and familiar. I had missed him so terribly after he left and fantasized of a moment like this, well, without the dungeon element. But now, I couldn't place the feeling exactly. It was soothing to be so close to him again, my toes still curled at his touch. But something was missing. He pulled away, his gaze holding mine, and squeezed my hands tightly.
You'll meet me there, at the north gate?
Would I? Halden could help me find the burrow route in the woods, more likely than I could ever find it alone. He cared about me, and always would. And I couldn't stay here another minute with Cain after who he had revealed himself to be, time and time again. I doubted he ever really planned to find my family for me. He was a liar, and always had been. So what kind of future did I have here in Shadowhold? It was safer to stick with a man I knew than the king I didn't.
Yes, I finally answered. Good luck.
I made my way up the stairs two at a time, and exhaled a breath I wasn't even aware I was holding when the guard from earlier was still standing watch. I breezed past him and didn't slow until Mari and I had made it all the way back into the apothecary. The slice of the sword sailing through the air next to my head was a little too close for comfort. "Watch it," I said, dodging just in time. Dagon continued his attack, coming at me with a ferocity I hadn't seen from him before. But I wasn't afraid. I parried each blow and used my size and agility to my benefit. Dagon was older, taller, and slower than me, which meant I could be scrappy and move around him with ease. With a second to spare, I caught my breath and swung at him, nipping his leather armor. He paused to study the nick, wiping sweat from his brow. A smile played on his lips, but he said nothing. I wanted terribly to gloat or jump in the air at my slight victory, but overexertion forced me to brace my hands on my knees and catch my breath instead.
"Last lesson for the day," he said.
Thank the stones. It was only morning, but the week had flown by, and I had too much to do before the banquet tonight. Dagon unstrapped his outer armor, dropping it on the grass unceremoniously. He sat down and motioned for me to sit across from him. The grass was cool on my palms, and I inhaled the scent of blossoming gardenia. There was so much I took for granted about these mornings out here. Now that this was my last one, I realized I would miss it quite terribly. "What are we doing?" I asked.
"Using a different kind of weapon. Close your eyes."
I did as I was told. I had learned not to question Dagon. When it came to self-defense, the man knew what he was talking about.
"Think of your greatest strength. Tell me what you feel."
My brows knitted together. My greatest strength? Nothing really came to mind. I was proud of my ability to heal people, but it wasn't as much a strength as an ability. A gift, maybe. I felt strong when I ran, but did that qualify as a strength? I had never thought of it as such. My family came to mind, how taking care of them made me feel strong. But I had never been as good at it as Ryder had. "I can't think of anything," I admitted. It was more shameful than I cared to admit.
"That's not what I asked. What do you feel?"
I sat stubbornly still. Something about having my eyes closed brought emotions I wasn't aware of to the surface. "Sad and alone, which makes me feel afraid."
"Stay with that feeling. What does the fear make you feel?"
I sighed. "Trapped. Sometimes it's just hard to wake up each day knowing how much of my life will be ruled by it, by being afraid."
"That feeling you have when your heart is racing, chest is tight, mouth is dry. Do you know what that is?"
I nodded. "Terror." "No, Arwen. It is power." I was trying to follow his guidance, but it didn't really make any sense. "Dagon, I don't think this is working, whatever this is. Can we stop for today?"
I peeked one eye open. His words were instantaneous. "Eyes closed."
"How?"
"Eyes closed."
The wind was howling through the trees in our training field. With my eyes shut, the noises of the keep preparing for tonight were heightened, carts being loaded and furniture being moved in the distance.
"When you are afraid," Dagon continued, "your body fuels you to run or to fight, filling you with the power to protect yourself one way or another. You are an excellent runner. Now you are becoming an excellent fighter as well. I cannot say those feelings of fear will ever dissipate, but you can harness them, make them work for you, turn that fear into courage. After all, they are one and the same."
There was some truth to his words. The panic attacks I suffered, medically speaking, were just a torrential influx of adrenaline. But when I was ensnared by them, it was nearly debilitating. Very hard to see that as some kind of untapped power. I sat in silence as instructed until my back ached and my tailbone went numb. When whatever Dagon hoped for hadn't happened, he stopped us.
"We'll try again tomorrow,"
I pushed myself up with a groan. Somehow I think I'll miss the sword fighting. It didn't come out playful, like I'd hoped. Doggin considered me.
Who do you think is more courageous when charging into battle? The knight, who has nothing to fear, surrounded by hundreds of his fellow men, armed with all the weapons on the continent? Or the lone knight, with no one beside him, nothing but his fists and everything to lose?
For reasons that I couldn't comprehend, the question made me feel like crying. The latter.
Why?
He asked. Because he knows he can't win, and he chooses to fight anyway.
There is only true courage in facing what frightens you. What you call fear is indeed power, and you can wield it for good.
I looked down, deflecting his searching gaze. I felt doomed to fail him. Whatever he hoped was within me, I was sure it was not.
You remind me of... I would have been very proud to see my daughter grow up like you, Arwen.
For a moment, I was speechless. It was the kindest thing I'd ever heard him say. It was maybe the kindest thing anyone besides my own mother had ever said to me. What happened to her? I asked tentatively. I wasn't sure I wanted to know.
Doggin bent down to pick up the swords and wrap them in their coverings. My wife and infant daughter were killed by the very man that Cain wages war against.
I staggered back at the horror of his words.
That grief, that anger, I find a way to harness it each morning to face the day and each night to go to sleep. We all have demons. What defines us is how we choose to face them.
My heart twisted and cracked inside of me. I am so sorry. It was all I could find. Thank you. He nodded to me, and we headed back to the keep in our usual silence. I felt sick to my stomach, for Doggin, and for the fact that I was planning to leave tonight, and possibly to return to the kingdom responsible for his loss. All of it suddenly felt very wrong.
18. The reflection staring back at me in the gilded mirror barely resembled my face. I had never seen so much charcoal in my life. Mari had painted my eyes with a smoky mixture and my lips a dark scarlet.
That's enough. Honestly, Mar, I look like a pirate or a lady of the night.
Or both. A beautiful pirate whore, Mari said, dusting more dark powder onto my eyelids. The look wasn't helped by the off-the-shoulder night-black gown she had squeezed me into.
This is so unfair. Why can't I wear something like you?
Because, Mari said, twirling in her high-necked pine dress, I'm not seeing an ex-lover tonight.
He's not an ex-lover by any stretch of the imagination. He's the king, and I doubt we'll even see each other.
Mari ignored me and brushed my hair, letting chocolatey locks fall down my back one section at a time.
Tonight, I started but didn't quite know how to finish the thought. I know. I couldn't see her face in the mirror, so I swiveled to look at her. But I couldn't bring myself to say the words. I felt strangled by emotion I hadn't seen coming.
I understand, Arwen, she said, taking my hand in hers. If Halden can get out, you're going to go with him. I'm sure I'd do the same.
Yes, but it's a big if.
No, it's not. He doesn't want to die. He'll find a way out.
I felt tears sting my eyes.
Oh, Arwen, don't cry. He's going to be all right.
Guilt coursed through me. It wasn't Halden I was crying for.
I'm going to miss you.
Mari's eyes were like wet glass as she pulled me into a hug.
Me too.
She released me and wiped at my cheeks, clearing the blackened streaks that ran down my face.
But you'll find a way to write to me. I know we'll see each other again.
Now let me fix this. Sad pirate whore is definitely not the look we are going for.
The Great Hall was elegant and celebratory tonight.
lit with candles of every shape and size and adorned with wreaths of onyx flowers. Heat from the shadowy lanterns, the piping hot food, and the crowding of bodies all warmed my skin. A haunting tune from the harmony of four different string instruments reverberated through the hall, calling me to dance. Outside, the white, elegant horses of Peridot were stark next to Onyx's brutal, demonic-looking ones, as tanned, blonde, Peridot dignitaries and nobles, dressed in sultry warm colors, filtered in. I had lost Mari a while ago. She and a librarian from Peridot had hidden in a corner, drunk on birch wine and analyzing some old fey text. But I didn't mind walking through the festivities alone. Despite my earlier complaints, I felt rather pretty in my silk-draped gown and the way it hugged my curves, melting against my body like candle wax. I grabbed a cup of wine and took a sip. The bitter taste was foreign to me. Amber wine was notoriously sweet and caramel-colored. This drink was the color of currants, and I instantly felt it in my bones after only two sips. I maneuvered my way past sweaty, joyful strangers and toward the dancing. I wasn't normally a reveler, but the level of anonymity at tonight's festivities gave me a sense of freedom I hadn't ever felt. Before I could throw myself into the merriment, something caught my eye. No, someone. A woman so stunning it was arresting, lithe with milky white hair and a delicate crown of leaves, was laughing uproariously at a certain dark king. Cain propped himself against the wall behind her with one outstretched arm and grinned into his ale. Her laugh was like a peal of bells, light and melodic. As he continued whatever story he was telling, the mystery woman listened intently, her eyes following every word off his lips. After one particularly hilarious aside, she reached a delicate hand out to encircle his bicep, and I found my feet moving before my mind had a chance to follow. "Good evening," I said, stumbling into them with a little too much gusto. Cain appraised me, his eyes traveling down my body deliciously slowly. But it was the expression he held when he settled on my face that took my breath away. "Arwen, you look so beautiful." We held each other's eyes a beat too long, a smile that was almost awe growing on his face. But then Cain seemed to remember where he was, cleared his throat, and gestured to the woman next to him. "Arwen, this is Princess Amelia. Princess, this is Lady Arwen. She is our keep's healer." Amelia. She was the princess of the Peridot provinces, the luscious jungled peninsula that bordered Onyx, and the daughter of the banquet's guest of honor, King Eryx. Shame colored my face. "Your Highness," I curtsied. The princess said nothing, but her narrowed eyes told me she didn't appreciate my interruption. The three of us stood around limply until I couldn't stand the tension any longer. Clearly, I had interrupted a moment between them. Why had I rushed over here anyway? To ruin Cain's night? Wasn't I the one who wished he would leave me be? Who planned to flee this very evening? The birch wine was making my head swim. "Well, enjoy the banquet. The mutton is excellent," I said, overly chipper. I winced as I turned to leave. Cain's warm hand wrapped around my arm with ease as he pulled me back toward him. "Your Highness," he said to the princess, still grasping me tightly, "I must have a brief word with Lady Arwen. Can I come find you in a short while?" "You'd better," she said, without much humor. She was as severe as she was stunning. I gave her my best, "don't look at me," shrug, as Cain drew me away. We crossed the great hall swiftly. When I realized he was pulling me away from the banquet, I struggled against him. "Where are you taking me? Let go. I won't bother you again. I want to stay and enjoy the dancing." Cain was either ignoring me or couldn't hear my protests over the music and revelry. We exited the grand room through a hidden corridor, flew down tight stone steps, and slipped inside the nearby wine cellar. Kane closed the heavy stone door behind him, shutting out the noise of the banquet and drowning us in silence. My ears felt like they were full of cotton. The small space was musty and dry, filled to the brim with barrels of wine. There was little room for both him and me. Kane's impressive height didn't help. I felt small, both in stature and behavior.
Bleeding stones! Kane, this is ridiculous!
You really do have a mouth like a sailor. He laughed, leaning against the door.
Don't think about my mouth.
His eyes turned from playful to deadly in a heartbeat.
How I wish I could stop, bird.
I snorted.
You're incorrigible.
And you're jealous. His smile was like a wolf's.
That's ridiculous. You disgust me.
I paused, trying to gather myself. What was I?
I'm sorry I interrupted you and the princess. That was rude. I crossed my arms, then quickly uncrossed them so as not to appear defensive.
His eyes gave nothing away.
We are at war. I am trying to solidify an ally. You think I'm just playing around? Do I strike you as a huge fan of banquets?
I pressed my lips into a line. Who knew political warfare could look so intimate? The corner of Kane's mouth turned up.
Oh, bird. Did you burn with rage at the thought of me with another woman?
Don't be silly. By all means, have at it. She's just a little young for you, don't you think?
Kane actually looked offended.
How old do you think I am?
Never mind, it doesn't matter.
I tried to push past him, but he blocked my path.
Well, I should hope not. You have a man behind bars a few feet beneath us who believes you to be his wife.
Of course, Halden. Thank you for sparing him.
Of course, he mimicked, a gleam in his eyes. I'm not such a cruel king after all.
I really should get back. Mari will be. A shockwave radiated through my body, throwing me into Kane with brutal force. My chin snapped against his sternum, and searing pain bloomed in my jaw. Kane wrapped his arms around me, cradling my body to his as the force knocked us to the floor. Wine sloshed as barrels fell on each other, breaking apart. The faint roar of screaming echoed from the great hall above us, and I squeezed my eyes shut. The ground continued to shake.
I've got you,
Kane grunted, as wine barrels tipped off the shelves and landed on his back. Every muscle in my body was tight as a coil as I prayed for the shuddering to end.
Stop, stop, stop.
When the aftershock subsided, Kane's face was inches from mine, the length of his body pressing down on me. It was overwhelming to feel him everywhere. Muscular torso pressed to my breasts, our thighs intertwined, his corded arms protecting my head, and a strong hand still cradling my neck gently, ever so gently. Much, much too gently. At the first hitch of my breath, he disentangled from me with lightning speed. My heart still pounding from the shock, I assessed the damage. The wine cellar was decimated. Dust and debris cluttered the shelves and floor, and we were both soaked in dark red. Kane's eyes lit with horror as he searched my body.
Are you hurt?
No, it's just wine, I said.
But I brought my hand to my mouth and felt where I had bitten through my lip in our collision. He cradled my jaw with a gentleness that nearly made me pant. Using his thumb, he carefully pulled my lower lip down to inspect the wound. I felt my whole body flush from the intimacy of the touch.
Ouch. Sorry, bird. Have some of this, it'll keep it clean.
His thumb released my lip, and he reached for an unbroken bottle, dusted off the dirt, and handed it to me. I took a slow sip, holding his gaze. He exhaled a shaky breath as he watched me drink deeply from the bottle and set it down beside me.
What was that? I asked, massaging my jaw.
But it hit me a moment too late. Halden's explosion. It had been much bigger than he had let on, whatever it was he did. If anyone had been hurt because of this, I...
Perhaps an earthquake.
Cain stood up and pushed through the debris to reach the door.
Stay here. I'll send Barney for you.
Before I could argue, he pushed at the door. But it didn't budge. My stomach sank in an instant. Cain. My chest began to shudder. He pushed again, hard, using his whole frame. The muscles on his back rippled under his shirt. The cords in his neck bulged. Cain? My palms were sweating, heart racing. Cain let go, pushed the hair out of his face, and cracked his knuckles. Once more, he heaved forward, but nothing happened. Cain! What? He swiveled. I was on my hands and knees, heaving for air. He rushed to me and placed a calming hand on my back.
Fuck. You're all right, little bird. Trust me, you can't die from fear alone. There's plenty of air in here.
He was saying the right things, all the things I had told myself 1,000 times, that Nora had tried to walk me through, or my mother when I was young. But it made no difference now. My chest felt like it was caving in on itself. My whole body shook with adrenaline, and my thoughts swam. I had to get out of here. Now, now, now. I can't stay in here. I took in another huge gulp of air.
Try to sit back, he said.
I scrambled up and pushed myself against the wall, eyes squeezed shut.
Good. Slow breaths now. In through your nose, out through your mouth.
This room had plenty of air. I was not going to be stuck forever. I squeezed Cain's hand and fought the urge to breathe in by the mouthful.
What a grip. Your training with Dagen must be going well.
I nodded, my eyes still screwed closed. I'm so strong, I could strangle you. Cain chuckled, and the sound relaxed me more.
You are strong. You're doing great.
The words of encouragement brought tears to my eyes.